Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that aims to mine a few nuggets that can support us in transforming our well-being as we choose to live in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. I know that can seem counterintuitive, just like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me today on what is a special yet sad day for me. You see, I'm moving on. So this is my last Alchemy 101 show for UK Health Radio after 5 incredible years. I've been so blessed to meet and interview some wonderful people doing fantastic work, and I hope to meet many more, just not in this arena. There's a lot of change afoot, and I'll let you in on some of what that means before I go today. But first, let's get to my final wonderful set of guests. I've loved hearing how so many people are changing the world for the better and changing themselves, and today is no exception. Later, we'll hear about the fantastic work Caroline Georgiou's doing in prisons both here and in the USA, with somatic healing and inner dance therapy. It really is incredibly inspiring, so stay with me for that. But first, we're about to hear how a crochet challenge, yes, crochet, sparked a global movement. Olivia Dietrich is here to tell us how crochet helped her through a bad time with her mental health, how she's now a therapist, and how the Random Acts of Crochet Kindness movement she started is helping to put a smile on the face of the world. I asked Olivia to tell us just how it did start.
Yeah, so I lost a friend, sadly, to suicide in 2018, and I didn't really know how to navigate that grief. It was incredibly painful, and I found myself struggling with my mental health a lot during that time. I love a personal challenge. I love something that motivates me and gets me out of the house. So I came up with the idea for 100 days to crochet a flower and leave it outside for a stranger to find. I think this was because I was quite passionate about doing kind things for other people anyway, and it felt like a thing that would make me happy and hopefully make other people happy. So I started doing this challenge for 100 days, and about halfway through, it was found out by the BBC, and they made a video about it that went viral and got 2.6 million views. And I was then overwhelmed with requests from other people wanting to get involved. So I don't know how I came up with the name. I think it just popped into my mind, and I made a Facebook group, Random Acts of Crochet Kindness, and it all grew from there, really. People all over the world wanting to get involved.
It is amazing, isn't it? Because one is fed all this death and destruction every day, but yet, you know, something as lovely and simple as Random Acts of Kindness with crochet can take off so fantastically. I think it's wonderful.
And I think that's what makes it so powerful, because people are overwhelmed with bad news all the time. And something that can take 5 or 10 minutes to make can have such a positive impact on someone's day. And I think I love acts of kindness. I love making the world a better place. But there have been times that I felt overwhelmed and thought, how can I possibly counter all of the bad things that are happening in the world? And it was really relieving, actually, to see, by just putting a small act of kindness out into the world, you have that huge power to change someone's day or turn their day around.
Yeah, just bringing a smile to somebody's face, it's fantastic, isn't it? It's just lovely, yeah. And you say something that can take only 10 minutes. Well, to somebody who doesn't crochet, they might hear that and think, I don't know about that. However, you have brought a book out, and that is... it's a fantastic book which tells you all you need to know about how to crochet. You teach people how to crochet, and you've even got guest designers. Who knew there were crochet designers? So that's fantastic as well. Different people doing different designs for you. So you've got patterns there in the book, and I love this. You even give people a guide to how to do the random acts of kindness. In other words, the labels, putting little labels on things like have a, I mean, not have a nice day necessarily, but that kind of idea. So it is your all-encompassing book on how to enter into the spirit of the random acts of crochet kindness. So how did that come about?
I think because I myself have had days where I've wanted to put an act of kindness out, but I've felt overwhelmed. I've not had any ideas. And I've had other people say, I'd love to get involved, but I just don't know where to start. So the idea for the book was, like you said, from start to finish, if a person is racking their mind with struggling to think of ideas, they can pick up the book and be guided from start to finish. They'll know, the benefits of doing it, how it can help themselves and others, the mental health benefits. They'll have the patterns, the tools, the tips, ideas for where to leave them, ideas for what to write on the tags. So on those days when your brain just isn't working, you can just pick up the book and be guided from start to finish, and it makes it as easy as possible.
That's fantastic. We all need a little help sometimes, don't we?
Definitely.
And yeah, and you talk about the mental health benefits. So let's talk about that. What have the benefits been for you?
I think at my lowest point, crochet was the thing that helped me feel grounded. It distracted my mind when it felt busy and chaotic. I think the colours, the textures, the patterns helped me stay focused. There was such satisfaction in making something and seeing, like, I've just made this thing that didn't exist before. So that was, a really incredibly calming and grounding thing for me. And then I think putting them out into the world, I knew. Sometimes I felt so powerless and lost myself, but I knew that by putting that act of kindness into the world, I was making a positive impact on somebody else's day. And that really gave me a sense of purpose when I felt lost myself.
I can see how that would be maybe a form of meditation.
Very meditative. And I
Yeah.
think people think of meditation and they imagine, cross-legged, eyes closed, focusing on your breathing, but really meditation is about bringing yourself to the present moment. And that's how I feel when I'm crocheting. I'm focusing one stitch at a time, what I'm doing, where I'm placing the hook, what colors I'm using, and I'm really tuned into what I'm doing. And that is definitely meditation.
Yeah, it really is. Actually, it's soothing. Knitting's the same, isn't it? Knitting can be soothing as well. So, but then how easy is it though?
I mean, I think genuinely the hardest part is learning the basics of holding the hook and learning the basic stitches. I think that takes real patience and practice. So I think if you have the patience to do that, to try and work at it, then I think it's really easy to pick it up after that. So I think what commonly happens is people start it and they find it a bit fiddly, or they find it strange knowing how to hold the hook and the wool, and they say, oh, I can't do this. And they stop. But if they can stick with it for an hour and learn those really basic parts of it, everything else comes really easily.
Yeah, I guess there is always going to be a learning curve, isn't there? Yeah. I guess you must have pictures in the book.
Yeah, so there's techniques of how to hold it, and how to do the stitches. I think everybody finds a different way, and it's about finding the way that works for you as well. So there's not necessarily a right or a wrong way. If it works for you, if it feels comfortable, that's completely fine. So I think every person I know holds their hook and their wool a different way, and they've just figured that out over time.
And then getting back to, again, getting back to the 10 minutes that you quoted earlier, we're not talking about doing this massive project. I mean, I see post boxes and things with toppers on them that have been crocheted, which are incredibly detailed and intricate. They're great fun, but we're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about something small but fun.
And I think you can become overwhelmed with feeling you need to spend hours making a massive piece, which, of course, they are so incredible and they do definitely brighten so many people's days. But not everybody has the time to do that or the skill set yet if they're just learning. And I think that's the important thing is a crocheted heart, which does take 10, 15 minutes. If a person finds that, it's such a nice surprise. It still has that impact of bringing joy to their day. So it's not always necessary to do such a huge gesture when you can just take a few minutes to still make someone smile.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you would normally put a little label or a little message with the crocheted whatever it is. Give me some examples of what people are leaving as their random acts of crochet kindness and what messages they're putting beside those things, those creations.
So there is a huge range. I think people love making things like worry worms, smiley faces, hearts, stars, animal faces. The creativity from people has been absolutely incredible seeing the things that they've made. There's a lot of like pocket hugs, angels, monsters, things like that. They're all really small, really cute things. And a lot of the labels will say things like, I'm not lost, I'm just alone. If you find me, you can take me home. So sometimes they have a little rhyming
Oh,
element to them.
yeah.
Some people just will write a kind message saying, I hope this brightens your day, take me home, and keep me close or something. It doesn't always rhyme. It's just usually on the message, it just makes it clear that this is a thing that you can take home with you and keep, or pass it on to somebody else if you want to do that.
Oh, so sweet. And where are people leaving these? Are they, I guess, in shopping centers, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so a lot of them get left out in parks, park benches, bus stops, on shopping trolleys. That's quite a common one. Hooking it over the little bag
Oh, yeah.
hook on a trolley, in coffee shops, on tables, in shopping centres. Depends on the weather, really,
Yeah, true. Yeah.
whether it's inside or outside. But
Yeah.
people just take them wherever they go on their travels. On holiday, they've been left on cruise ships, at the beach, so they're all over the place.
And this is something that's spread all over the world now, hasn't it?
Yes,
Amazing.
everywhere. I can't believe it.
So you're populating the world one piece of crochet at a time with kindness. I think that's fantastic.
That's a nice way to look at it. Yeah.
Well, it is. And I think it's fantastic to hear how it's helped you and so many others with mental health issues. I mean, do you feel that this has been a real salvation for you?
Yes, definitely. It's the thing that kept me going during my absolute darkest and most difficult days, is the thing that I kept going for. Like I said, the thing that gave me purpose, and it helped me just to keep putting one foot in front of the other, which I think sometimes is all a person can do when they're really struggling. But it's just for something so small, and it had such a massive impact on my life, and hopefully other people's as well.
Yeah, and creating something it's really powerful, isn't it? When you are dealing with anything mental health-wise, or even when you're just not feeling very well, the sheer act of creation is hugely empowering and really does help. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has a huge impact on your self-esteem, on your confidence, just letting yourself have fun whilst you do it, and then seeing that you've been able to create this thing that's really cute. Maybe it's a mess, maybe it looks beautiful, but I think just the process of making it is really important and has a huge positive impact.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be perfect, does it?
No, definitely not. And I think that pressure of making it perfect is one that I've definitely put on myself before, but trying to let go of. Sometimes it gets a bit messy. Sometimes it doesn't go as planned. Sometimes I read the pattern wrong. And that's the best thing about crocheting, is it's so easy to undo.
It is, yeah. It's not quite
Not
the
like
same as
knitting.
knitting.
No, if I drop a stitch whilst knitting, that's game over for me.
Yeah,
But with
exactly.
crocheting, you can just undo a few stitches, it's fine.
Definitely much easier to correct mistakes with crochet. So, are you tempted yet? Why not? But let's take a short break right now while you think about it and hear from our station sponsors. Back with more from Olivia Dietrich right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. And coming up, we'll be hearing about some inspiring work being done in prisons. But first, we're back with Olivia Dietrich, the founder of Random Acts of Crochet Kindness. Now, I learned to crochet as a child, but for a long time, crochet and knitting seemed to be much less popular. I wondered if crochet was making a comeback. Here's Olivia again.
Yeah, I think it definitely disappeared for a little while.
Yeah.
In terms of people doing it, I was very lucky that my nan taught me loads of crafts. Crocheting wasn't one of the things that she was able to do. I think just because I grew up around crafts, I was really drawn towards it. But it was very rare when I was growing up to know people that crocheted. But I think now it's making a huge comeback and it's becoming more and more popular, especially my generation and younger. You see YouTube channels all the time, people on social media, they're crocheting, they're reconnecting with the importance of arts and crafts, I think. So it's becoming much more popular.
Do you go into, I'm sure you do, but let's just say there are certain materials that you might not want to crochet and certain things that are better suited to crochet. You go into all of that kind of thing in the book as well, don't you?
Yeah, I mentioned the kind of materials that I usually use. But I think the most important thing about the book, I wanted it to be as accessible as possible. And I know that not everyone can afford to go and buy specific types of yarn or specific things. So I do really think, you know, Random Acts of Crochet Kindness, you can use whatever you have. It's perfect for using up old scraps of wool, you know, just little bits that you have left that you don't really know what to do with. That is perfect for Random Acts of Crochet Kindness because they're such small things. And I've seen people use a massive variety. I speak in the book about how I use cotton, mainly because it's more resilient, it's more weatherproof if it gets wet when left outside, especially in England. I found that to be the most resilient and the thing that keeps things looking nice for longer.
Yeah.
But people can use whatever they want to.
Now, when you say you use cotton, are you using cotton thread or are you using strips of cotton? What is it that you're using?
So I use double knit cotton yarn.
Aha. There you go. Yeah, great. And some, I mean, I know that some yarns can split very easily, but you get used to knowing what, you know, what's what when you've done a few projects, you kind of get used to that, don't you? You know how not to split the yarns and stuff like that. Yeah. We're getting very complicated here, very technical. But I think it's such a lovely idea. And what are the kind of what's the feedback been like that you've been getting?
Oh, the feedback is always amazing and it always has a bigger impact than I imagine it will. So I think sometimes I'll be rushing around and I'll think, oh, I need to just quickly put that there. And I don't always think about it that much. I just quickly hang it up and I carry on with my day. And I've received messages saying, you know, I was having a really rubbish day and this brought a smile to my face and turned it around. Or my child was having tantrum after tantrum and I couldn't get them to do the food shop, but they found this on the trolley and it brought them so much joy that I was able to then complete the food shop in peace. And even some more, I guess, deeper meanings in terms of a lady who found a butterfly that I'd left and it was blue and she said, oh, I lost my son and I've been grieving him and blue was his favorite color and I feel like it was a sign from him to keep going. And so I think people find this act of kindness and they take from it what they need at the time. Some people just say that made me smile and I loved it. Other people see it as a real sign for them to keep going. It's been a huge range of reactions.
I love that. I love that. It's so, so simple and yet can have such a profound impact and help people on their way. Wonderful. Now, I think all of this is great. We're crocheting the world one little piece at a time, one little piece of kindness at a time. We're coming to the end. Tell me and tell our listeners where people can find out more about doing their crochet random act of kindness, a random act of crochet kindness, I should say.
Yes.
and where they can get your book. Tell us where we can find out all about it.
Yep. So I speak a lot about my book on my Instagram page, which is Crochet. on the Facebook group, of course, which is Random Acts of Crochet Kindness. And you can get my book from Amazon, Search Press, Waterstones, WH Smith, I think. But on my Instagram page, there is a link that has all of the places that are selling my book.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. So, and I mean, I'm guessing that you'd be very happy for people to sign up on your Facebook page as well and just take part there. And you'll see all of the wonderful messages that people leave on the Facebook page. I was looking at it the other day, and it's just lovely to see people, you know, really getting into this and enjoying it, and it making a difference.
Yeah. It's a really incredible community. And I think anytime I'm having a rubbish day, I just go onto that group and read through it. And it always makes me happy because it just shows how many people are putting kindness into the world. And it's an amazing thing.
My thanks to Olivia Dietrich there and her fabulously creative approach to better mental health. Do check out her Instagram and Facebook pages, and you'll find out all about the Random Acts of Crochet Kindness book there too. Now, where's my crochet hook? But first, I have to introduce you to another wonderful woman in the world of well-being. Caroline Georgiou is a counsellor, somatic movement therapist, and one of the UK's leading inner dance facilitators. She's been doing some wonderful transformational work both here in the UK and in the United States of America in prisons, and is still in the USA as we record this, in fact. I watched a video of one of her prison sessions before speaking with Caroline, and I was incredibly moved by it. When we got together for the interview, I asked her to tell me all about that. So get ready for a deeply moving story. Here's Caroline.
Yeah, that's right. So my dear friend Lisa and I have teamed up with a nonprofit organization called Getting Out by Going In, who have been working in the American prison system for over 25 years, providing, well, they've been co-creating a set of life tools with the incarcerated populations. So I've come in and created some soundscapes which have the life tools that they're studying embedded. And we've been offering sound meditation sessions. So we've been visiting minimum and maximum security prisons around California and facilitating in-person sessions.
Wow. And what kind of reaction have you been getting? What kind of results? And what's been happening?
Well, the impact is immediate. The men and women that we've been working with, the first thing that they're telling us is it's perhaps the first time they've felt safe, for some of them in their whole lives. And let's consider the context. You know, they're in a prison setting, so there's a level of survivalism because you need to survive prison. So we're inviting them to lie down on their backs and close their eyes and trust that everything's going to be okay. So for them to even do that for half an hour is a repatterning experience. They're having inner visions and dreams. They're having memories of early childhood before their trauma began. They're feeling connected with friends and family. They're having significant insight into their crimes and how they want to be in a life of service. As one gentleman said that he hadn't realized how much love there was in his heart. And his whole sense of identity shifted, and how he now wants to dedicate the rest of his life, and he's in prison for life, to being in service to his peers and to helping other people find that light within themselves.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Exactly. I mean, we all know the power of music, and when we work intentionally with music and sound, and we can combine them with phenomenal cognitive behavioral tools, we're really working holistically, aren't we? So it's just been such an honor to work with so many different men and women of all walks of life who are choosing to spend some time with us to try something new for the very first time.
Yeah, so it paints a very different picture of American prisons in the USA to the one that we are often shown, which is not particularly supportive, shall we just say. You know, I'm absolutely amazed that you're going into these prisons and having these results. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very humbling. The institutions have been incredibly supportive. And in fact, you know, even though the majority of prisons, I would say, are old-fashioned and the architecture isn't comfortable or comforting, there's some amazing programming taking place.
That's great to hear.
Absolutely. But it is a system that's under immense pressure, in in every country, really. So we're just so grateful, considering what's happening in the world at the moment, that the doors have opened for us.
Yeah.
So because there's such trust in the work of getting out by going in, that as guests, and that this is really a branch of what they already offer, it was easy for them to trust and buy into that we were trustworthy practitioners, that we were working with the tools and an energy that's familiar to them, just in a different way. And so what's happening now is in America, they have online learning platforms, and participating institutions provide tablets for the inmates so that they can study in their own time in their cells. So the organization has its own channel, and the men and women will be able to listen to the sound meditations whenever they like, and they can facilitate themselves in their cells and their 2-inch mattresses whenever they like.
Like I said, amazing. Well, we'll hear more from Caroline about her extraordinary work in prisons shortly. But first, it's time for our station sponsors to get their messages across. Back right after this.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one award-winning talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and I'm talking with Caroline Georgiou, a counsellor, somatic movement therapist and inner dance facilitator, who is doing some truly transformational work in prisons, both here in the UK and in the USA. Now, as I said before, hearing of her work gives a totally different impression to the general image we're fed of US prisons in all the media and films and whatnot. Here's Caroline again.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that's true for some institutions, certainly.
Yeah.
But could potentially reach up to 2 million prisoners, this
Which
work.
would be fantastic. Yeah. And so you've been there for 2 months now. How much longer are you going to stay in the States?
I'm here until mid-October, so another couple of months, and I'm heading
Wow.
back to Angeles. So I'm going to be working with a sound engineer just to upskill my understanding of the music software and to refine the meditations that we're creating to a much higher standard, and also hopefully getting to visit some more prisons in California and Los Angeles as well. So.
That's great. And then these meditations, there's a whole range of meditations, is there? And is it just music or is there voice as well?
There's voice as well. So, with the nonprofit that we're volunteering with, they have 12 life tools and they're in four different stages of psychological development. So, there's four key soundscapes, sound meditations that focus on embedding those life tools with spoken word. So, it really helps the men and women to integrate and embody their studies at a cellular level. But the work that I'm doing in the Scottish prison, I'm just working with my own soundscapes, which are an energy process called inner dance.
Yeah.
That's my main modality. So the music and sound that I'm bringing into the UK is quite different from what I'm working with in America, which is very interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about inner dance and what you're doing here in the UK. You describe yourself as an inner dance facilitator and trainer.
Okay. So there's many ways that you can describe inner dance, but the most simple way is that we're working with sound and music and energy to stimulate our body's biorhythms of biochemistry to entrain us into a waking dream state. So we know that arranging music in certain order stimulates the brainwaves. And if we can do that with a particularity, we can mimic the REM sleep cycle. So people, they don't fall asleep, but they can go into very deep rest. And the body goes into a sort of a waking dream where people can have visions, insights. their nervous system begins to reset because whilst they're also in a state of deep rest, there's also focus and a lot of sensation and electricity available in the body. So the nervous system, the branches of the autonomic and the sympathetic begin to speak to each other again. So everything starts to come back into balance and flow. And as we know, when we're dreaming, our body goes into a self-repair state. So there's a detoxification process going on. So that's a very, very simple way of describing something very profound and can be extremely spiritual for many people. Many people have life reviews as if they're having a near-death experience because we know we're stimulating the same parts of the brain that come online when people are on the surgery table, when they have had a car crash, when, they are facing that their mortal coil. And so to be able to have those experiences without being close to death is actually an essential part of any spiritual path. We know that. So we have the opportunity to take it into primary schools, into healthcare settings. I work in a prison as well in Scotland, and helping men and women and children to lie down, to remember how to dream consciously, and to let their body heal without a resistance. I just think that's beautiful work. If my dream is that everybody does this and that it becomes a very ordinary, everyday experience, and that, it's something that we can facilitate for ourselves, and the prisoners are showing us the way. If you've got men and women who are choosing to lie down in their 2-inch mattress and listen to a soundscape that can change their life, or you've got the men at HMP Perth and the radio station are playing an inner dance soundscape, you can have up to 680 men choosing to inner dance together from their cell. That's raising the vibration and changing the frequency of very traumatized spaces.
Yeah, I love that. Doing it at scale. Fantastic.
Absolutely. It just shows the scope of this work and how it's inspiring people's imagination. It wasn't my idea to put inner dance on the radio at HMP Perth in Scotland. That was the inmates, the prisoners, it was their idea. And now it's happening on a regular basis. And since I've been in America, they've actually had a radio show speaking about inner dance and trying to encourage more and more men in the prison to try it or to listen to the soundscapes. So they're continuing the work, even though I'm not there, which is exactly what inner dance energy is. It's exactly what getting out by going in energy is. It's self-generating.
And getting out by going in, you shorten that to Gogi, Gogi.
Think that was I think if I correct it, certainly it was an inmate that came up with that.
Oh, is it?
All of the
That's
life came up through conversations with the men and women who are incarcerated. And that's why it works. It's peer to peer and it's simple, it's easy to remember. And everyone who's a part of this process all says that if they had these tools when they were little children, then they wouldn't be where they are now.
yes, a lot of us feel that at some point in our lives, right? I look back on my life and think, oh, if only I had the tools that I have now. Yeah, and what you talk about in terms of the soundscapes, it sounds very much like, and you've said really that the body's coming into balance. So you're talking about a healing process here. Not just emotional, not just mental, but physical as well. So, are you finding that people are healing from things that are wrong with them in a physical sense?
Yes, I mean, I don't have any quantitative data to back that up, just the anecdotal evidence and what we're being told. But men and women are saying that they're coming into session with pain, and that's moving from the session, and they're finding a sense of liberation in their body. People are reporting that they're sleeping for the first time in maybe years, if not their whole life. The nightmares are ending. So it's the physical reparation is showing up. It's manifesting in different ways that their stress levels are reducing. I have some men in Scotland that are telling us that their urge to use substances has diminished. So the fact that addiction cycles are being interrupted,
Yeah.
tells us that there is significant rewiring in their brain and their biochemistry, that they're finding freedom from the trappings of addiction. I mean, that's huge.
That is huge. It is really big. And as I say, it's lovely that you're able to do it at scale. But then, we've talked a lot about prisons. We've talked a lot about doing this kind of work at scale. Can anybody do this in the privacy of their own home?
Absolutely. This is universal and it's for absolutely anybody that wants to support themselves, to dream with more frequency and to support themselves back into a higher vibrational field. You know, there's no preferred group. The energy has guided me to work in prisons and I work in primary schools as well in Scotland. But essentially, it's anybody that wants to listen to the soundscapes, they can be made available. You can go on to the Getting Out by Going In Gogi's YouTube channel and listen to the work that the men and women are lying down to with us. There are inner dance soundscapes available all around the world for many phenomenal facilitators. So there's just access to this work and it's becoming more and more globally recognized. So yeah, the work for
No,
this,
that
I really encourage people to give it a go or to find a facilitator close by and
right. And so are there many facilitators? I mean, obviously you're a facilitator, but are there many of you around in the UK? Well, I mean, people listen to this all over the world, but are there many facilitators generally around the world?
we're certainly a growing numbers. The UK is getting very popular now. I can't speak for how many work in prisons or schools. I know I was, I think, the first in Europe to work in prisons, certainly in America. But there are a lot of phenomenal facilitators holding space in village halls and at festivals, community centres, things like that, online as well. So, yeah, the popularity is increasing. People are coming home to themselves. You know, everybody knew, or I'm saying that. So many of us are recognizing that there's an accelerated process of reclamation in the last few years, that people are waking up to themselves. They're wanting to remember what their true purpose is, and they're curious to discover through many different ways how to come home. And this is another way that, you know, we've been working with since the dawn of time. You know, our ancestors have always dreamed consciously together. They've always worked with music and vibration because they understood that it does something very significant to us spiritually and physically.
Yeah, no, that's true. It is true. We have been doing it forever. Yeah, our ancestors were all doing that kind of work. And it is recognizing that we are just energy with vibration. Often that energy is off kilter and we have to rebalance it.
Yes, exactly. And on a daily basis as well, you know, we are relational beings. Therefore, our environment and the people that we spend time with, they're going to have an impact on our nervous system and how we show up in the world. And so this daily self-care is so vitally important. You know, it's like I know people that take better care of their car and make sure the car never like runs out of petrol. And yet they'll go weeks or months without really slowing down or doing something nurturing for themselves.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. I know plenty of people like that myself. And then they're surprised that there's something wrong with them. Yeah, that is true. And so, how long is one of these soundscapes? Do people have to spend a long time listening to this? Or how long? Well, is it what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people here will be listening to this and thinking, well, yeah, but am I going to have to sit down and listen to half an hour of something every day, What, so what's the score?
Well, the guys in Scottish prisons, they have an hour. The guys in America have half an hour, and the children that I work with can have about up to 15, 20 minutes. What we know is that we're working with our circadian rhythms and our chronoception, the part of our brain responsible for understanding time. And everybody says that felt like 5 minutes. That was no way an hour. But I understand that when people say, I don't have time to sit down or rest for half an hour, I'm like, wow, you really need to make time. If we don't have time for that, but there's also sleep soundscapes that my teacher has created. So you can have them on when you're sleeping to help facilitate your dreaming. You can have, when I need to focus, I put one on in the background and I produce my most creative work. You can have it on when you're washing the dishes. There's no hard, fast rule that says you must lie down and you must close your eyes.
Right. So that's important to know. So people don't have to disrupt their normal routine necessarily.
No, I mean, this is a self-directed process. However you want to do it, whichever way it works for you, be curious. One way might work better than another. But I feel that if you're choosing to do something like this with an intention, then it's going to meet you exactly where you are. And our bodies know exactly what to do. Our bodies know how to heal themselves as long as we get out of our own way.
Couldn't agree with you more on that score. Absolutely. Yeah. And so then let's just now say where people can lay their hands on soundscapes. Where can people find out more about you? You mentioned there's a website for Gogi.
Well, there's the website. I think that's needing updated, but the best place to go is on the YouTube channel, and it's Gogi Life Tools. And there's a lot of conversations. It's called Prison Positive Conversations with recently released coaches, Gogi coaches, who are talking about how they're reintegrating and how the life tools are helping them stay focused. Some of these guys have been released after 20 or 30 years in prison. It's really fascinating conversations. But you can go to my website, thesoundofdreams.com, and if you sign up, you can get a free soundscape. And I'm sure even if you just go on YouTube, there'll be some soundscapes, or on Spotify, my teacher Pai Villarraza, there are some of his soundscapes. His are slightly more cosmic, if which
Right. Well, nothing wrong with that. What's that name again? What's the name?
his name is Pai, PI.
Yeah.
Laraza. So it's VILLARAZA, I
Yeah.
think I correctly. So he has a Spotify channel and he puts his new music up. His are another level. I wish I could create like he does. So there's sources as well. And even if you just Google or go on Facebook, there's a lot of facilitation taking place online now. And every
Fantastic.
channels their own particular frequency in relationship with this energy. So I find that I have very different experiences, not only depending on where and how I am, but also with the space holder and who's created the soundscape has, they open a different dimension up for me. So it's really, again, it's about being curious and being open, and you'll find the right soundscape at the right time and the right practitioner.
Amen to that. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for coming onto the show and talking to us about it because I think it's fantastic work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Couldn't believe the results that you're getting in prisons. And, it just seems so extreme, but lovely, lovely feedback from some of the prisoners. You've got a video of your experiences there. Yeah, long may it continue. Thank you so, so much. And I recommend that everybody has a listen to at least one soundscape and see how you get on with it. Thank you so much, Caroline. Great to hear all about Caroline Georgiou's work there. Do check out her website at thesoundofdreams.com. And if you search for Gogi Life Tools on YouTube, you'll find lots of videos on what they're doing in prison. Gogi, of course, is just Gogi. And then I do recommend you search for Pai, that's Pai Villarraza, on Google to see what he's doing too. All of which leaves me just enough time to tell you what I'm up to now. I've co-founded a business with Alexia Leachman, and we're rolling out a series of assessment tools to measure personal growth and consciousness and enable people to pinpoint the areas that might need attention so that they can reach their full true potential. It's really very exciting. Now, you can find out more at the Ladder of Growth Systems page on LinkedIn at ladderofgrowth.io and at the Ladder Lab community on School. That's SKOOL. You'll also find a sister community run by me there called the Energy Escalator. These communities are free to join, and I would love to see you there. My practicalalchemist.uk website is being phased out, but I will be redirecting to the new site soon. Our podcast on tocophobia will continue, but right now, Alexia and I are focused on launching the business, so bear with us on that. It's called Tick-Tocophobia, and you can find out all about it at tick-tocophobia.com. That's T-O-K-O-phobia.com. Otherwise, I'll be back to being more visible on social media as The Practical Alchemist on Facebook and Instagram, and JJ Stenhouse on X and LinkedIn. So please do stay in touch there. I'd love to hear from you. And with that, it really is time to leave you. I want to thank all my excellent guests over the years. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank UK Health Radio for the opportunity. I do hope you join me along the alchemy road ahead, wherever that may be. For now, though, and for the last time here, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.